Excited for this sermon today, and I'm also a little bit kind of heartbroken because I'm sad to see the sermon series go, but it's been a great one. We've been talking about ridiculous faith. We've been talking about burning plows and slaughtering cows. Remember week one? That's crazy, ridiculous faith kind of talk. And I've been following this radical prophet by the name of Elisha, an amazing guy who followed in Elijah's footsteps and just performs all these miracles and really challenges kings and authority figures to understand and to live and to abide by the Word of God. It's been this amazing journey. A couple weeks ago, we talked about this idea of if we need the rain to come, only God can bring the rain, but we need to dig a ditch or two. Amen? Last week, we talked about this idea that, hey, listen, if we need God to pour the oil and the power of His great provision, then we've got to gather up some empty jars and believe that God is going to fill them. And God calls us to be empty vessels. And the more that we empty ourselves before God, God fills us up in amazing ways. And so there's just been these awesome miracles, awesome conversations around Elisha. And then we get to today, where we're going to talk about the miracle where he floats an axe head. Okay. Now, I promise you that the majority of you have probably never even paid attention to this miracle, or you've just glossed over it if you've ever read this section of Scripture in 2 Kings, but we're going to go there and we're going to have some fun with it. But before we get there, let me prime your pump and get you started a little bit. Do you ever have those moments where you feel like you've lost something, only you just seem to actually have misplaced it? Let me help you out here. And I know that spouses are going to start nudging spouses here because this happens to us all, and one of you is more prone to losing things than others. You ever lost a pair of sunglasses? Only to find the fact that they were sitting on top of your head? Yep. Am I talking to some of the right folk here today? Have you ever lost your cell phone only to realize that you were talking on it at the time you wondered where it was? Have you ever had those moments, and this is what we're guilty of all the time. We go places with our kids, and Aaron is like, oh my gosh, where's Elizabeth? I can't see her. Where is she? And I turn around and say, honey, she's right here. Where's Isabel? Where is she? Where'd she go? She's right here. We were at the state fair yesterday, and it happened again. Where's Elizabeth? I can't see her. And she's there. We never lost her. She was there the whole time. We just kind of maybe misplaced her. Or how about the notorious losing of the car keys? Losing of the car keys, right? You search all over the house. You tear up all of your couch cushions and everything else to look for the car keys, and the lanyard is hanging out of your pocket. The keys and the keychain are right there, and you've never really lost them. They were just there, ready to be discovered or to be rediscovered. They were just a little bit misplaced, and that's exactly where we're going to be today. Thank goodness, by the way, for the Find Your Phone app. We were in the house the other day, and Erin could not find her phone, and we, you know, the old traditional thing of calling your phones anymore, that's old news. I was really cool. She had no idea. I got on the Find the Phone app, and I was like, I pushed the button. And I'm like the stuff, because all of a sudden, in the kitchen cabinet next to the dishes, I hear this beeping from her phone. And she's like, I can't find my phone. I said, well, it's right here. What do you mean it's right here? Because the ringer doesn't work. I said, I got to Find My Phone app here, baby. I'm the man, right? And so all of a sudden, we open the refrigerator, the cabinet, and it's sitting right next to the plates. How does that? She goes, how does that happen? How does a cell phone get lost by sitting right next to the stack of plates inside the cupboard? But we found it, and I was the hero for about 3 seconds. It was a great temporary feeling in that moment. But God is good, because we serve a God who is an expert at helping what we thought to be lost be found. Hallelujah. We have a God who wants to do everything he can to help the lost be found. And this is the God that we serve, and this is where we're going today. And so what we're talking about is this moment where there are times where we can lose our spiritual nature, where we feel like the nature of God in us, the passion for God, just kind of dies down, and we kind of lose this kind of spiritual edge in our life. Now, I'm a quirky guy. I love funny and stupid movies, just like the rest of you. And I just remember in a movie with Austin Powers in it where he lost his mojo, and he spends the entire movie trying to get his mojo back. And in this moment, what I'm talking about is this idea of getting our spiritual mojo back, getting back our spiritual edge, that with which we thought we've lost has just been misplaced. But there are times in our life where we used to be deep in this spiritual contentment that we had with God. There are times where we had this great and amazing faith. There was time where we had this endless joy. There were times where we prayed hard and we dreamed big, and our hope was always around the next corner, and we believed that God was going to do big things. But now we find ourselves kind of unsure of what we believe. We find ourselves a little bit feeling a little bit lost or lost along the way. And Elisha wants to come and help us reclaim that as he floats an axe head. We're going to talk about regaining our spiritual edge. So we've talked about burning plows, we've talked about digging ditches, we've talked about gathering jars, and today we're going to look at one of the oddest miracles in the Bible when he raises an axe head. Now, Let's just review. Elisha has helped raise the dead. He's helped part the Red Sea. He's helped bring rain and pray for rain for thirsty soldiers. He's helped a cesspool of water actually become potable so that a village of people could live on it. He's done all these huge and miraculous miracles, and now he's floating an axe head? And you're like, what's so big about that? Maybe it's the smallness and the simpleness of it that reminds us that our big God isn't too big to be able to care for the huge things in our life, but isn't too big to also care for the small things in our life. In other words, there's a prophet here who has lost his axe head. It's actually not his axe head. He's borrowed this axe to chop down some trees to build a bigger seminary so that they can have more prophets. And in the process, he loses this iron axe head in the water. Now, iron back then is very valuable, and this wasn't the prophet's. And if we understand from last week, remember when the prophet last week, the widow was in really bad shape financially because her husband, the prophet, had died. They'd incurred a lot of debt. And so now they're struggling. So this week we have a struggling prophet who's still in seminary. Now, if you're a prophet who's still in seminary, then you are really struggling because when you're in college, you are poor when you're in college. I mean, when you're in college, you hope that your next meal is going to be macaroni and cheese or ramen noodles. And if you're lucky and blessed, you get $5 in the mail. You get to have some protein and get some tuna fish in that thing. I mean, this is the struggle that we have when we're in college is that, you know, you're really poor. So here's this poor, absolutely broke prophet. He was definitely a non-profit prophet. I mean, he had... I said that too fast, didn't I? He was a non-profit prophet. You got that? And so he was in this moment where he was really struggling. So God uses Elisha to bring up this axe head and bring this axe head back to him, showing that our big God cares enough about the small problems and challenges in our life, but also has the ability to care for the most enormous things we could ever possibly fathom. It gives us another personal touch and look into who God is in our life, that he is a God who wants to bring comfort in our times of need. Whether we have a chemistry test that we're struggling with, we have a car that won't start, or you're on your cell phone and you still can't find it, God is going to help you and bless you, and he might laugh at you along the way. God takes humor, I think, in some of our challenges and struggles, these small little problems and struggles. And so Elisha's here, and he's mentoring a bunch of prophets, and that's where we pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7, and remember, again, Elisha is leading all these prophets. He's a prophet of prophets, and it makes sense because Elisha was a prophet of Elijah, and so there's just kind of this teaching and training that goes on down the line, and Elisha's always surrounded with other prophets. Well, the seminary that they're in, again, has gotten so big that they need to relocate. And here's where we pick it up. The company of prophets, the class of prophets that Elisha is teaching, says to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he says, "Oh no, my Lord," he cried out, "it was borrowed." Now let me pause there for a second, because I think that there are times in our lives where we get down on ourselves because we look at something we've said and done and say, boy, that was a bad thing. Like when you're hammering that nail in and all of a sudden your thumb gets between the nail head and the hammer head and all of a sudden you smash your thumb and you just cry out in the name of Jesus Christ for some help. You know, unfortunately, maybe you take the name of the Lord in vain and you think, gosh, I probably shouldn't have done that. Now, I think in those moments, we probably really do need the help of Jesus because it hurts. And God is the great healer. But if you think that you're just taking the Lord's name in vain and you'll never be forgiven for that, look at what this prophet does. He's in school. He's in front of his teacher. He's at seminary, and he takes the Lord's name in vain. Oh, no, my Lord. I do believe in those times when we cry out, we really probably are asking for God's divine intervention. But we should never take the Lord's name in vain just for our own profit or just because it's part of our language. But in this case, you could take a deep breath. It happens from time to time. It happened to this guy. It's going to happen to us. It'll be okay. Just give it back to God. Repent. And don't make that a habit in your life. This guy didn't. It was a one-time thing. He said it was borrowed. The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Now, we're just going to get really practical today, and I believe that this is going to minister to us in powerful ways if you would just lean in a little bit and allow God to speak to you, because here's the focus for the day. God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. Amen. God is the master at helping you find what you didn't mean to lose. And so I think oftentimes we find ourselves, we're in a place where we have lost our spiritual stride. We've lost that spiritual nature. We've lost that edge. And maybe we haven't lost an axe head, but we've lost that spiritual edge in our life. And you might ask the question, well, How have you lost your spiritual edge? How have I lost my spiritual edge? And some of you need to hear things like that are practical examples. Things like, well, maybe remember that time where you were more into the things of God than you are today? Remember maybe there was a time where you seemed to be surrounded by Christian friends and you were involved in a life group and you're involved in a Bible study and they built you up and you built them up and now not so much. That doesn't happen in your life too much anymore. Maybe you served in a church and you were thrilled to use your gifts. I mean, it was hard to do it that way. It was hard to serve in those moments, but it was fulfilling and you got busy in your life and things changed and now you miss being used by God in that way. Or maybe you had a passion for prayer and you used to pray long and you prayed often and you prayed hard for family members and friends. You'd sit in your prayer closet and you'd pray for anyone and everyone every single day. And now, well, you might have just lost your faith and you just don't pray as much anymore because maybe you just haven't seen God respond in the way that you thought your prayer should be responded to. Or maybe you used to be one of those people that would share your faith and just talk to anybody and everybody, encourage them, throw them a smile at the store when you're at Walmart or at Rural King. How's that sound? Woo! I'm looking forward to Rural King being open. I gave them too much of a plug at 9:45, so I don't want to get off tangent, but when we were living at Tiff and they brought a Rural King in, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. It was fun, and it's going to be great. They have live chickens and stuff in that place. I mean, it's really cool. Little chicks, baby chicks, you're going to have a blast. No more having to drive to the north side for all that other. I'm getting off a tangent here. All right. Some of you live on the north side and you're saying, what's wrong with the north side? There's nothing wrong with the north side. It's just a long trip for those of us that live on the south end. So us southeast, we live down here. So here, this is the man of God, and he asks, where did it fall? We're in this process where we're talking about and identifying our spiritual edge. And so maybe we just used to have conversations with people, these spiritual conversations, and now we don't have any more of those conversations anymore because we just don't know if we know enough. We don't know if we can talk to people about these things. We've been intimidated, and we used to do these things, and we don't do them anymore. It's been a long time since we've had one of those conversations. Or maybe we're making choices now that we didn't used to make, and our spiritual nature is eroding because we're making habits and choices. And we're taking on these things in our life that we didn't used to take on, or we're making these bad decisions that we didn't used to make. And now we're in this place where we're standing here and we're saying, how did I get here? I used to be there, but now I'm back here. I've taken a step backwards. So whatever it is, we've lost our spiritual edge, and it can happen to any of us, and it probably has happened to all of us at some point in time, because the enemy wants to do nothing other than to destroy all that matters to God, and you matter to God, because we are lost. We are all lost. And what is lost, God wants to be found, and we matter to God deeply. I remember a time in my life where I lost my spiritual edge. I was in college at The Ohio State University. I found Jesus Christ. I invited him into my life to be my personal Lord and Savior. I'll never forget that moment. God turned around everything in my life. He transformed me, my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my actions. He gave me a new set of eyes to be able to see the world that I had in. He gave me a new set of eyes for the problems and troubles I had in my life. He brought joy into my life even though I was going through pain. Am I talking to some of the right folk here today? I mean, God is an amazing God, and I found Jesus Christ. And so here's what I did in the name of Jesus Christ. I went out and got myself some Jesus t-shirts. I mean, I was wearing some Jesus t-shirts. I was wearing that witness wear stuff. I had this t-shirt, coolest t-shirt ever. I wore it till it rotted off my body. Anybody have a favorite wives are looking at their husbands right now because their husband has that favorite t-shirt and there's holes in it. And this was mine. And on the front, it had a picture of Jesus climbing up that mountain, and he had the cross on its back. And on the back, it said, the sin of the world. And above it, it said, the Lord's gym. And on the back, it said, bench press this. I love it. I love that. I love that t-shirt. So I wore that t-shirt like every day. I had a leather, a robe, a strap around my neck, and it had a cross on the sides of it. I was like the spiritual Flavor Flav. Listen, my cross was bigger than any clock that Flavor Flav ever wore. It was huge. You know, I would walk around and I had this big cross. I got rid of all my secular music and I bought Christian CDs. And a couple months later, I was so sad because some of those secular music songs I loved. And I was like, what did I do that for? And now I got them all back. I've spent, 30 years collecting them all back, or 25 years or whatever. And it's good. I listen to both. I listen to Christian music. I listen to secular music. God is good. And I shared my faith. I was walking around talking about Jesus with everybody I knew on college campus. I was leading Bible studies in my dormitory. I was recruiting friends to come to this weekly meeting we had with Campus Crusade for Christ called Primetime. I mean, I was on fire. And you say, well, why? Because I had discovered the person and work of Jesus Christ, and his grace was happening in my life. And when that happens, all I could do was to just see what God was going to do and use me in amazing ways. And then you're like, well, then what happened? And I said, well, I graduated. I graduated from college, and I started getting out of the habits of meeting regularly with men and going through Bible studies together. I got out of the habit of serving others regularly. I got out of the habit of of having spiritual conversations. I got out of the habit of praying, and I started making some bad choices as far as my personal habits were concerned, and I was just kind of going through the motions. Once I graduated, we got married, and I was working in the secular world. I got myself a career, and all of a sudden, I got myself a career, and that career became the priority, and I wasn't serving anymore. I wasn't giving anymore. I wasn't praying anymore, and I lost my spiritual edge. I know I'm talking to some of the right folk here today. I lost my spiritual edge, and I became, and I believe this statement is going to speak to your hearts today, if you lean in for a second and listen, I became a full-time career man, but a part-time follower of Jesus Christ. A full-time career man, but a part-time follower of Jesus Christ. And so many of you can relate to that. Maybe you've become a full-time parent, but you've relegated yourself to a part-time follower of Jesus. You become a full-time student, but a part-time follower of Jesus. You become a full-time career man or woman in your life, and you are a part-time follower of Jesus. Or you become a first-time, full-on ECA, extracurricular activity with my kids person, but a part-time follower of Jesus. You did not mean to lose your edge, but in the process you did. And everything I named, all those things, those are good things. I want you to hear, I participate in almost all of those things, but anything that can be good can also be used so much so in our life that it can take the focus off of God. And it's so easy for us to be a full-time something else and a part-time follower of Jesus Christ. And so maybe we didn't mean to. Maybe we didn't mean to stop praying with our spouse. Maybe we didn't mean to fall back into that pattern of sin. Maybe we didn't mean to drift from love and intimacy with God. Maybe we didn't mean to look for satisfaction in our material possessions. We didn't want to lose our spiritual edge, but we became that part-time follower of Jesus Christ, even though we didn't want to, and we lost that edge. You know, this happens sometimes. We get to swinging away at life, and all of a sudden the axe head goes flying off. You ever just get so hard with life and so challenged with life and so focused on life, and we're swinging that axe, we're chopping down trees, we're hammering this out, we're hammering that, and all of a sudden the axe head goes flying off and we've lost our edge. That's where we are today. So the question is, how do you get your edge back? Two thoughts. How do you get your edge back? First one, if you're taking notes, is you can go into your YouVersion Bible app. If you've got that on your smartphone, go to, help me out here. Go to events. Go to events on YouVersion Bible app, and it'll be all the notes are right there on your smartphone, or you can just grab a hold of your outline there, and you can fill it in. And the first one is this. You guys ready? Be honest about where you lost your edge. This is simple stuff today, but it's powerful. Be honest about where you lost your edge. I love when Elisha, this man of God, in verse 6 that we just read, he asks the prophet, where did it fall? This prophet is kind of flipping out. He's like, oh my goodness, I've lost this thing. I can't pay it back. I am a non-profit prophet. I don't have any funds. What am I going to do? He's walking around he's got rabbit ears in his pants because, you know, he's got his pockets extended. I mean, what am I going to do? And Elisha's like, hey, just settle down. Calm down. You never lost it. It's right here somewhere. Let's just look for it. Let's just find it. Guys, when you're golfing, sometimes your ball goes in the water. You didn't lose it. It's just right on the edge of the bank. It's just a couple inches down in the water. It's right there. We'll figure it out. It'll be okay. And so in this moment, he says, hey, listen, where did it fall? Let's start there. Let's just be honest about where you lost your edge. He puts his hand around in his brothers in Christ. He said, hey, listen, let's do this together. You see, it's not gone. It's not lost. It's just misplaced. So where did you leave whatever it is that has left you, your spiritual edge, that spiritual mojo piece, that place where you kind of just felt like you've lost it? And even now some of you are saying, oh, yeah, I remember when I took that wrong turn in my life and I started making some poor decisions around that. I remember when I met that friend or I was in that relationship that just wasn't very helpful and they kind of led me astray. I remember when I dropped this discipline in my life that I used to do. You know, I stopped praying and I used to pray and that was about the time that things started going south for me. Or I used to tithe. I used to be a giver, but I got behind. And I just kind of stopped that practice and lost that way of having joy and worshiping God in that way, and I just kind of stopped doing it. Or maybe, hey, I used to go to a life group or Bible study, and I don't do that anymore in my life. I don't have that in my life, and ever since then, it just feels like things have been off. You know, maybe it's that moment where, you know, you're in that secret place in your life right now, and you're doing something in secret, and you think no one else cares, and no one else is paying attention, but you realize that secret thing that you're doing or not doing that you should be doing is something that's beginning to harm your relationship with God. Whatever it might be, God is saying, hey, listen, be honest about where you lost your spiritual edge. And for me, back in college, it was I was no longer surrounding myself with people who could help me, hold me accountable, love me, and build me up, and I could build them up. It was those relationships that I was lacking. So Aaron and I got involved in a life group right away in that church when we first got married in Dayton that we got involved at Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church. I knew that I wasn't serving people anymore, so we got right away involved in a young married couples ministry, and we started meeting with young married couples and blessing them and walking them through things. And I knew in those moments we weren't givers, and at that moment in time, we finally decided we're going to do exactly what God says to do in His Word and stop playing games. And when we did that, God started to use those moments to regain our spiritual edge with those habits and practices. So that's the first thought. Be honest about where you lost your edge. The second one is even more simple than that. With God's help, take back what you lost. There's a moment of empowerment whenever you encounter Jesus Christ. There is a moment of empowerment whenever you encounter Jesus Christ. With God's help, take back what you lost. God specializes in helping you find what you thought was once lost. In verse 6 and 7, go back to what we read. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. And I love this in verse 7. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. He lifted it out with God's help and assistance through Elisha. With his help, he was able to take back what he had thought that he had lost. Now listen, you may be praying for some rain, but you need to go dig a ditch to be ready for that rain. And we may be struggling to pour some oil, but if we're going to pour some oil, we need an empty jar or two so God can fill it. And so what God is saying here, listen, I can float the axe head, but only you can grab a hold of the handle. And God wants to float an axe head in your life, but he's waiting for you to grab a hold of the handle. He's waiting for you to take that step of faith so that he can prove his faithfulness. And if we're waiting for a faithful act of God, God may be waiting for a faith step on our part. And he says, I will float that axe head, but I want you to lift it out. I want you to grab a hold of that handle. There is a sense of empowerment in our life. There are no excuses. There is no blaming somebody else. There is no woe is me. There is no God, you've done this to me. God is crying out to you, I will float axe heads in your life, but you've got to grab a hold of the handle. And that's what God wants us to do in this day as we stand here and we sit here and we talk together. Because the voice of the enemy wants to try to convince you of the opposite. The voice of the enemy wants to say to you, oh no, you can't get it back. Oh no, you've gone too far. You've been living like this for too long. You are too far gone. There's no way you're going to get back your spiritual edge ever again. You've done too much. You've had too many conversations. You've seen too much. You've acted this way too much. You are lost. You've lost the best of what you had. Those are lies from the pit of hell. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we need to send them straight back to where they came from. Because God is a God who wants to raise an axe head in your life, but he's telling you, you have the ability, I've given you the ability in Jesus Christ to grab a hold of the handle and to take ownership of that in your life, because we have a God who specializes in helping you find what was once, you at least you thought to be, lost. Amen. It's not too late. We have a God who specializes in that. How do I know that? Well, if you read Scripture, you go into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I believe it's in Luke, and you look up this stream of parables that go back to back to back. There is nowhere else in Scripture where Jesus gives us three straight parables without even really giving us any kind of other thoughts. He just tells us three straight stories. Who remembers one of those three stories? You guys know where I'm going with this? Anybody? A lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. Now, most of us are familiar with the last one because that's the story of the prodigal son. But in that moment, Jesus is causing us to lean in and say, if I'm going to tell you three straight stories about the same topic, back to back to back, and I'm not going to do it anywhere else in Scripture, then I need you to understand something. Lost things matter to me. Amen. He's saying, lost people, you matter to me. You are my lost children. You matter to me. And we know in the end that that dad was sitting there scanning the horizon every single day until his son came back, but he wasn't going to grab the axe handle for him. He'd floated the axe. He said, listen, you're welcome to come back anytime. What I have is yours. But he was waiting for his son to grab the axe handle. And as soon as his son grabbed the axe handle, he put his arms around him and he welcomed him back. You see, he hadn't lost it. He had just misplaced his spiritual edge in the place of that family. So here's the second thought. With God's help, you can take back what you have lost. That is the amazing moment that God has called us to. And you say, well, how? You do what you can do, and you trust God to do what you cannot do. Now, this might sound repetitive, but I believe this is important. And we say it in different ways each and every week, but you can do what you can do, and you trust God to do what you cannot do. Translate that. God wants you to work like it depends on you, and you pray and trust like it depends on God. And this is the partnership that God calls us to do and to live. You do what you can do and trust God to do what you cannot do. You can't make an axe head float, but God can. But you can certainly reach out and grab a hold of the handle and lift it up out of that place when God puts it within your reach, because God is going to put you, he's going to put you in a position where it's going to be within your grasp. And he needs you to reach out and grab a hold of it. You know, we cannot conjure up our own spiritual passion. We cannot even conjure up our own faith. But we know that faith can come by hearing from the Word of God. And we know that we can put ourselves in a place where we can hear God's Word more clearly and allowing that situation to build our faith. You know that He hears and answers prayer. And so therefore, you can choose to pray even if you don't feel like you want to pray. In other words, there are habits and practices and disciplines that God has given us that will help us kind of hone the edge on that axe head so that we can regain that edge in our life. You can worship even though you don't feel like it. You can go to church even though you don't feel like it. That is grabbing a hold of and reaching out for the axe handle in our life. And so these are opportunities that we can choose to share our faith with other people, even if we don't have all of the answers. And when we step out and do these things, God begins to sharpen the axe again in our life. He starts to grind away at the edges, and he starts to help us regain our spiritual edge. You can seek God and his promises until you find them. Amen. And God will use those moments to sharpen and resharpen our spiritual edge. In Revelations, God says, "You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen." This is God's word in the Bible. Repent and do the things you did at first. Two easy steps, or two important and simple steps, but not so easy necessarily. Repent and do the things that you did at first. It starts with repentance. God, I'm not only sorry for the things that I've done that I shouldn't be doing, but Lord God, I confess to you that I have been apathetic. I've been complacent. I've been ignored the things that you have called me to do for too long, and I want to give those back to you. God, I love you, and I want to step back into that moment. I want to grab a hold of that axe handle. I want to return. I want to come home. Can I come home? And God says, absolutely yes. Give me your troubles. Give me your problems. You see, God is in the business of revival. He's in the business of restoration. Our God is a God of renewal. And in order to be able to do the things that we did at first, we need to go back to doing the things that we did at first. And if you want to have what you once had, you've got to go back and do what you once did. Now, I know that this seems simple, but if we want to have what we once had, we have got to go back and do those things that we once did. We need a recommitment in our life. And when he causes that axe head to float, then we therefore go back and we grab a hold of that axe handle. But maybe it's not just about going back and doing the things that we once did and trusting him that he's going to come through, but maybe it means that we need to do a few new things in our life. Maybe it means we need to mix a few things up in our life. Maybe if we've never been involved in a life group or Bible study, we need to get involved and we need to sit down with a group of people and we need to pour over God's word together. We need to pray with one another. Maybe it's time that we get involved in local mission and ministry and we serve with Mission in Motion. We had 15 people come out yesterday and work at a house in Crooksville in partnership with Habitat for Humanity and so other and other organizations. Maybe we just need to step out in faith and we need to do that in our life. Maybe we need to leave our comfort zone and we need to go on a mission trip and we need to get out of this country and we need to go hold a baby that hasn't had something to eat in 3 days and is malnourished and to oversee and overlook that baby in our arms and have true poverty smack us in the face and see their faith and see the faith of this family and let it rattle us to our core and let it bother us. Maybe we need to walk across the street into a different neighborhood and see the challenges there locally and watch what God's going to do so that we don't ever come back the same. That we come back touched, we come back changed, and we get a real touch of what God maybe want to do in our life and use us for. Maybe we need to fast from something in our life that's dominating us. And maybe we fast from food because food is just so important to us daily. And maybe we go physically hungry for a day, but we allow God when we are hungry, we pray and say, God, would you fill my need? Would you be all that I need in that moment? Maybe we fast from electronics. Now I'm getting personal here. Maybe we put down the smartphones and we fast from electronics for 3 seconds. Maybe 3 days or 3 weeks and we just give it to God. Maybe we fast from social media. All right, there are people passing out in the aisle right now, okay? But maybe we fast from social media, texting, Pinterest, Twitter, you know, Facebook, whatever it might be, and we just give it to God and say, oh, Lord God, when I feel the need to go thumbs to thumbs with people, Lord, would you just teach me to go face to face? And be all that I need in that moment. Again, those are not bad things, but when we give up a good thing, we can allow God to come and fill that void when that thing is missing in our life. You know, oftentimes, Aaron and I, when we have felt stuck, and earlier this year, I confessed it to you, there were a couple seasons around in January where I was feeling a little bit stuck spiritually, and I felt that edge kind of dulling a little bit. And so what did we do? Aaron and I looked at each other and say, I think it's time for us to continue to step beyond the tithe in our life. And we started giving above and beyond the tithe. We started giving to the building fund as we continued to return and put down the debt on the current facility we have. And we just decided for us, that was a step of faithfulness. And when we did that, it reminded us of where our investments truly are because we said, oh God, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to put a brand new faith and trust in you because we don't know if we're going to be able to do this on our own. And you start every day and you seek God first and say, God, what is it that you could do that would put me in a position to rely on you even more? Maybe it means for you, you look at everyone you meet and you see everyone you meet as a chance to share your love of Jesus Christ with them. And you just learn to strike up conversations with everyone you meet and say, hey, listen, do you know Jesus? I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. You need Jesus. You know, when you reach out, he will bring the edge within grasp. He will bring it within grasping distance, but you need to grab a hold of the handle. He's going to fill you with a renewed and brand new passion of faith that maybe you never thought you could get, but now that you have, or maybe you never thought you could go back to what you had, but not only did you bring it back to what you had, he's now building on what you had, and you're in a better place than you've ever been because God is giving you a brand new source of power, a brand new understanding of what he's doing in your life, and God brings this joy and this hope and this belief and this understanding, this purpose that he created you for in this moment. You see, you do what you can do, but you trust God to do what you can't do. Because I serve a God who specializes in restoration. How do I know that? Because I know the person and work of Jesus Christ. I know him personally. He lives in my life. And those of you who know Jesus, you understand this principle. When I tell you that a God is a God of restoration, he is a God who wants to help us find what once was lost. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. And I'm going to start preaching now. You thought I was preaching 20 minutes ago, but this is, we're going to just start right here. I'm almost done, I promise. But in this moment, when you go back to the Garden of Eden, you realize that we had everything we ever needed as human beings. We had the most blessed experience we could ever possibly have. There was no understanding of without. There was no understanding of sin. There was no understanding of I need more than what is right in front of me. There was no fear. There was no worry. There was no concern. There was no anger. There was no lashing out. There was none of that. It was pure. It was amazing. It was godlike. There was this amazing relationship. And then Adam and Eve decided that wasn't enough. And they bit from the tree of knowledge. And when they bit from that fruit of the tree of knowledge, it changed everything for humanity for the course of human existence. And it brought something into our life called sin. It broke a relationship, and we became, as God followers, lost. As His children, we became lost people. And so our God is a God who does not tolerate things being lost. And because of that, He was not satisfied. He sent us His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and hang on a tree. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And when we say yes to Jesus, invite Him into our life, His blood has been shed for us. It covers over our sin problem. And that's why Jesus is also referred to as the second Adam. Because God is the God who restores, and He wants to remind us that He made right. He made that with which was lost now be found when Jesus came. And He made everything right that He started in the garden so many years ago. Because, amen, God is our God of restoration. And God is going to float the axe head in your life. He just needs you to grab a hold of the handle. He's going to help you thought what you thought was lost now be found in your life. Here's a closing scripture for you, and I'm just going to let God's word just speak into your spirit. This is taken from the Message translation in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. God, your God, let these words just sink in. Will restore everything you lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick you up. He'll pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. No matter how far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of there and bring you back to the land your ancestors once possessed. It will be yours again. It will be yours again. Take those scripture passages and let them minister to your heart. A couple of action steps for you to close. Number one, what one thing could you do again that you used to do? Habit, practice. I've given you a couple. Heck, ladies, there's an awesome opportunity for you ladies that in this next month, they're going to be going to this thing called the Belong Tour. And the Belong Tour is this great opportunity to get together with other women from our church and thousands of other crazy ladies for Jesus Christ. Man, there's just a day like that, I wish I was a lady. I mean, I appreciate being a guy, but listen, ladies out there, in that moment, this is all for you. This is all about, you know, you reclaiming your relationship with God and getting powered up and building relationships with women. You might say, I don't know a lot of ladies in this church. You need to go on the Belong Tour. Go out there and check it out. There'll be ladies at the table outside, and go and register for that. You know, maybe for you, you've never just even served at the corn stand. And the corn stand isn't just about going and serving and meeting a need. The corn stand is about building relationships. The money we raise there goes to serve mission and ministry. And you say, you know what? I'm just going to go and I'm going to sign up at the corn stand. I might sign up for 3 or 4 days. You're not going to hold me back. Well, we won't. Go sign up for that and be a part of that. What one thing could you do again that you used to do? Start a new thing. Start doing a new thing. Like I said, the corn stand may be a brand new thing for you. Go serve at that. Do something new. Number three, grab a hold of the axe head. Amen. Grab a hold of the handle, because God can float it. He needs you to grab a hold of it. God is good. Amen. Amen.